Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, and I am extremely loud. Am I extremely loud right now?
I have my headphones turned
down. I feel like my mic is really, really hot. It's a new year, so maybe this is a new level for a new year. My New Year's resolution was to be more loud and more obnoxious. Off to a banging start. Yes, yes, Paco?
You're so hot.
Yes, you are. Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, with me as always. How are you doing on this fine new year?
I am awake.
Is that what's important right now?
Well, it could not have been said of me 10 minutes ago.
We were just sitting here having a chat while, for those of you that listen to this as a podcast, the way it's intended.
Yes.
But there's a very small group of you that listen to it live via a web stream called MixLR.com. I'm not sure how the science works, but we were listening to Loverboy's Working for the Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And while talking about that, it was fun to hear this, like, ride the pony, everybody. And then I go, how are you, Pocky? Like, well, I'm not floating. I can't remember what she said. Said something about, we're getting rain here. We're having weather in Southern California. And yes. Southern Californians, not a fan of weather.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just weather. It's El Nino.
El Nino is here.
He says, Paco, he's close to my heart.
If anybody listens to the Bill Handel Show on KFI, of which I work full-time, BT Dubs, I used the Chris Farley. This is our producer, Michelle, had this brilliant idea. So there's a lot of, and it's a hilarious bit from the first El Nino, and it's Chris Farley going, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino. So El Nino is upon us. We had what was supposed to be 4 days straight of rain turned into a day and a half, two.
Yeah.
And the reason why Paco hates this is because you said I have three dogs.
I act as a doorman to three dogs, in, inside, out, all day long, into the rain, back inside, mud, wet, everything else. Yeah. All day.
Also, I'm not sure how this never came up before on our history on the show.
Yeah,
how
did I have dogs?
No. How you have not been cast as a doorman on some kind of Disney kid level sitcom. That is right at your wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can even steal the name Paco from this show. I'll release the trademark that I own, weirdly enough, on your name.
Yeah, that's great.
But here's the thing. Yeah. This is what blows my mind, and probably a lot of our listeners' minds. Let's be frank about this. Why can't you just let the dogs out to do their business? Okay. He said, knowing the answer.
No, here's the thing. Under normal circumstances, I leave the back door open for the two smaller dogs, and they're free to come and go as they see fit.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that the larger dog, the shepherd, Montecore, as we call her.
The one who ate that young gay magician.
Yes, exactly. They never mix, never worry. So if I need to let Montecore outside, I've got to bring the other two in, and then I can let Montecore out a different.
So you have a canine airlock.
Yes, exactly.
A decompression chamber.
Exactly.
Now, why not? This is the part that baffles my redneck brain.
Okay.
That why the dogs can't just go in the backyard, you shut the door, and let nature take its course.
Well, think that Luna and the little ones would be very upset.
Luna and the little ones.
Yes.
Is it children or the little dogs?
Diego and Chad would not.
They would not like this arrangement?
No. It would almost certainly lead to.
One dog will die.
One dog will
die. Three will enter. Two will leave.
Yes. Diego, you know what? I'll save it for later, but maybe it's the moment of the week. Diego said something about this that I think you will appreciate very much that has just, I decided, become my moment of the week. And it will end. They call this a tease in the business.
Oh, really?
They'll have to stay through to the end of the show.
That must be a chapter two of the Radio Broadcast Professionals Handbook. I have not read that yet.
And they can hear, that Diego had a solution I think you would approve of.
All right. So then we have to not answer this question and move forward. Yes,
not specifically, but I will say yes. I'm not prepared to let that happen Exactly. But I'm just saying that that whole airlock business, once you add rain and mud to it,
that's
and
awesome.
The need to clean off the dogs every time they come inside, or out, you know.
This is why the terrorists hate us.
Yes.
So hard.
It makes it much
water harder. Falls from the sky here. We don't have to fight or seek it out.
Nope.
And even when we are experiencing a, I don't know, what could be a 200-year drought in California, we are annoyed by water falling from the sky.
Well, my understanding is that it could rain for a week like that, and it's not going to make a difference with our drought.
No. California is
that's
not
just science. I don't know.
It's a desert. You're right.
Yeah.
Scientifically, we have 8 years until we fall off into the ocean and Nevada becomes the new West Coast.
Yeah. Good luck to them.
The hardest part, I think, for all those people in Nevada and Utah is that how are they going to live without gluten? You know what I mean? Somebody has to be the West Coast pussies of the world.
Yeah.
They're going to have to give up gluten. They're
right.
They're going to have airlocks for their dogs.
Seriously.
They're going to get angry at people walking in grocery store aisles.
In memoriam, we will receive the respect we should have gotten all along.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
There, a lot of people, that's what's going to be the Independence Day presidential speech of the film that will be made about said event, where they will say, you know, we thought it was hard. We made fun of them for being pansies, but it was a tremendous burden that they carried to lower the bar for the rest of us.
We sheltered them from that responsibility.
You're welcome, the rest of America. Do you have New Year's resolutions?
No, I don't.
I'll go.
Yeah, you mine go. Sorry, is, I don't.
Mine is to I do the staple one, the lose weight.
Right? Oh, okay.
Daddy's got to lose about 20 pounds.
About staples.
Yeah, no. I'm going to eat staples to lose weight.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I have my stomach stapled.
That's what they mean, right? When they say you get your stomach stapled, you eat staples.
Right.
Because I can't afford whatever surgery they're advertising on billboards out there.
No.
I'm doing that. I also have decided I will, how to say this? This is going to sound like maybe a shock to you and maybe the listeners. I don't know how well they feel they know me. I am going to worry less about being kind to others.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm adopting a no sandbag zone in my life.
Yeah.
So it's sink or swim now in the Worsham psyche, I've decided. But much like I'm sure the weight loss will go, I will fail at that.
Well,
too, on
good
some
news
level.
For your children.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so much to talk about. Okay, so Natalie's surgery. Let's start there. Now I can say everything because everybody's alive.
Okay.
Except for her vagina.
Is the penis working out for her, by the way?
We haven't tested it out yet.
Okay.
Still in the recovery phases.
All right.
And by the way, I did not know that. Wouldn't that be great if, you know, she goes in to have her hoo-hoo worked on and then they came out. She's coming out of the anesthetic, which I have a great story about, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I come back there and they go, okay, well, just give her 3 weeks for the penis to be able to achieve what?
Right.
What did you just say?
You're going to have to insert this woodwind reed when you want to.
Wet it first, just like you would if you were to play a clarinet. The woodwind? No, yes. The reed.
The reed.
Okay, got it. No, so she had to have – here's what it was. Talking about it last week, I got her permission to share. She had cysts on her ovaries and has had them for the past year or so.
Mm-hmm.
So what in the beginning of the year, I guess she had a fairly large cyst. I don't know. I don't know a lot about
Hang
cysts.
Hang on a second.
Yeah?
Talk slower.
Okay. All right. Let's get a little. She had a growth in her lady bits, ladies and gentlemen. So just buckle up for that kind of talk. If you didn't think pissing and vomiting with your children was enough, we're going to talk about my wife's innards. By the way, just a teaser. You were talking about teasers earlier.
Yeah.
The tease is I have seen my wife's guts. One of the most disappointing parts about my wife having vaginal birth is that I wanted to be able to see her guts and decide whether or not I hated them. I just wanted to have that so I could check it off my bucket list.
Yeah, okay.
And now I have seen them in high definition, not face-to-face.
Yes.
So I am kind of – it's like an internet relationship. You know what I mean? You,
I
you
understand.
Think it's great for all intents and purposes, as I've learned from you. But – for all you know, you still could be judging it poorly because it's, you know, there's things that weren't allowed for.
Well, when you get together with, you might realize they use an old picture.
Yeah.
Make themselves look
better. Oh, yeah. This, I hope that's the case with these. but anyway, she had cysts on her ovaries, so she was having like extreme pain during her cycle, as I think is what the ladies call it. And every
they're
other month.
They're all cyclists.
Yeah.
Every last one of them.
Which was hilarious to me because every other month would be intense. And because women are dumb. I'm sorry, what?
Every other month is intense because it's every other month from each side. And one side had the problem, the other side didn't.
You stopped that like you learned that last week, by the way. You shut me down like that wasn't covered. Sophomore year in biology class, you said, wait, hold on. Let me break this down. Let's go to our ovary expert, Paco Lancini, on the scene.
You see behind me here.
Is that a fallopian tube or fallopian? It is it fallopian or fallopian?
Well, it depends.
And why is it a falafel called a falafel? Because it looks like an ovary?
Well, it's really a falafel, but we've mispronounced it as we brought it over.
You have opened my mind to things.
All right.
So anyway, so every other month she would do this thing where she's like, oh my God. Like she forgets what happened to
you. Right. So that I'm with you. That I am completely with you. I'm like, how can this be a mystery?
I am left to question my life choices and who I decided to marry and procreate with. It's like my gene pool contributions were low as enough. And so she finally, it gets bad, and then they do an ultrasound, find out that it's like 2 centimeters, and I only say that for those of you listening that have ovaries that are maybe going, oh, that's not that big a deal, or maybe going, oh, my God.
Right.
Or whatever it is, I'm not reacting properly. Yeah. And
then, I know mine's the size of a golf ball, but my ovaries can take it.
You know what I miss? I miss describing your child as objects as it grows within your wife.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Right now, little peanut is the size, ironically, a peanut. So anyway, she the last month of December, which is the one we just experienced. God, I'm stupid. It was really bad. Okay. And she was also experiencing a lot of nausea. And so they gave her these anti-nausea pills, which, by the way, somebody needs to get cysts on your wife's ovaries. Oh. So you have anti-nausea pills. Because I had a little bout of, I think, food poisoning at one point. She goes, here, take this 10 minutes later, it's like you're not even sick.
Wow.
I could go eat a chili dog. It was awesome. So anyway, she's been taking a lot of anti-nausea pills, and then it got really bad. So she was it looked like we were going to have to change healthcare options, like go from a PPO to an HMO, or it could be RKO, one of those.
Right.
And it was going to cost us like $50 million more a year to switch, but so she could go to this OB that she liked, the guy that delivered our kids, because the one that she had through that she got through our general practitioner was, you know, not no bueno.
Yeah.
And then finally he gets some test or something, and she goes in and says something. He sees the size of it had doubled. Her ovaries were doubled because they were inflamed.
Wow.
So he's like, we got to get in and get that fixed. So we all of a sudden were making decisions like, do we have her hoo-hoo open before Christmas or after Christmas? So we went after Christmas.
To do it on Christmas Eve. Some people do it on Christmas morning.
Then you get to open your new vagina on Christmas
Eve. Yeah.
So we went for after Christmas. So the kids were gone. That gives her plenty of time to recover. So I take the day off work. I go there to get to the surgery and blah, blah, blah. And my favorite part of this whole thing is Natalie's extremely nervous because she's never had surgery before.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
I mean, other than the cesarean.
She never had a cesarean. She's all
vaginal. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure when you saw her listening. Guts. I didn't understand.
Maybe put down the phone and listen. What are you, 16? Jesus. So anyway, she goes in for the, she's all nervous. And I always, every time I go to a hospital with my wife, whether it's for, you know, childbirthing reasons or hoo-hoo reconstruction surgery,
right.
I am always the guy who looks like the husband that you like have to ask to leave the room so you could find out if the wife is safe. Because I do a lot of, no, it's fine. It's
right.
No,
answering
just,
for her.
Yeah, just do this. Like, you know what I mean? It would be better if my wife didn't speak English for everybody.
Right.
And so they kind of go, oh, okay. And I said, no, you're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I go, she's nervous, and she had great doctors. They gave her a Valium, and she is such a lightweight. Like, they gave her a Valium while they're kind of wheeling. The anesthesiologist is like, how do you feel now? Because she just injected. She's like, hello. I feel silly. She was saying that.
Please tell me you had the tape going.
No. They don't let you record such things. And so the best part of the whole thing was, go in there, doctor comes out, says everything's good. She's got a issue gastrointestinally now. that they found when they had opened her up. So now she's going to have to get the old camera up the pooper. She said,
I'm sorry, can you put that in layman's terms for me?
I'm sorry.
Don't worry. I
wanted to know what the camera, I wanted to do the Latin term. So I was like, what's the camera called for a colonoscopy?
Right.
And I could come up with it because I'm like, it's not colonoscope. It's, right. I go, it's kaleidoscope. That's what my breakdown.
Now that might be a whole new thing.
So she's got to have that done now, and here's why I tell this whole long-winded story to set up all of the experiences we've had over the past few days is that I go in there, the nurse is there, and she's coming out of the anesthetic, and they're giving me, like, here's how it's going to be, blah, 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 mm-hmm. telling me all the stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, the second or third, I think, sentence out of her, you know, we've talked about it at some point. I know I've brought it up on the show, is that when you get that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, the entire chapter for dads is about when can I bang her? Is it going to hurt the baby if I bang her? Like, that's all we need to know about fatherdom.
Right.
And it was so frustrating for me. Well, I get in there, and third sentence out of this chick's mouth was, she's going to need pelvic rest, is what they called it.
Yeah.
And I said, she goes, so you're going to want to consult the doctor.
So you're going to remove yourself from her now, sir.
Yes. Sorry, what? So just, I shouldn't be in here right now? Okay, my bad. You should have said something.
Right. There should be a sign. Or...
Gosh, you got a sign about washing your hands in the John. I can't do a little just the tip for my wife while she's still in. Bill Cosby's my comedic idol. Wow. Wildly inappropriate,
yeah, that
Justin.
Really,
my bad.
Took a turn. Hey, no, it's okay because he didn't get prosecuted, so he's innocent.
In L.A.
Right.
That doesn't mean that he didn't do it either. But anyway. So, she goes, you need pelvic rest, so you're going to want to consult a physician before you resume with intercourse, I think is how she put it.
Mm.
And the look I gave this chick was like, I go, wait, what? And she goes, oh, you're going to want to talk to the doctor before you resume intercourse. And I said, that's going to be a deal breaker for me. They didn't tell me that. So I'm going to need you to get back in there.
Right.
And do some... more undercarriage work because that ain't going to fly. Not in my house.
Right. I need her street ready.
Yeah.
You know, I got to be able to drive her home.
I said, and what was great was the look on this because nurses have to be so nice and so clinical.
Right.
And yet this poor lady had no idea.
I'm sure she has no idea what to do with you.
What's great about no idea for a nurse is it's just blank poker face. It's just, But in her head, she's going,
her eyes are blinking a little extra.
She developed a Tourette. So I said, I'm going to need you to fix that undercarriage and get it going again before we leave here, like, now. And she looks at me, and I look back at her for, like, a beat, and I go, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you. She goes, oh, my gosh. And she just started crying, laughing.
Oh, no,
like she was like, yeah, no, she wasn't that upset.
Burst into tears.
And then here's how you know when you're a different level of obnoxious is when... there's like maybe five women getting operations on their various ovarian needs, I guess.
Right.
And all of the nurses, sans one, are hanging out by your wife. If there's one thing that my obnoxiousness can get, special treatment.
Right.
Like very,
that's so funny.
We had four brains because they just, I guess, they just didn't know what I was going to say next. More likely that they were like, I think that this woman may not be safe.
Right. That's in your mind, it was the chicks can't get enough of this.
Yes.
And in their minds, it was, yes, like, she may not be safe.
Yeah. We got to make sure he may or may not be functionable to leave with a person who needs someone else to take care of them. And she's still under the anesthetic at this point, and she's still asking questions like about how it went. My wife asked the same question five times in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
And while she's coming out of the anesthetic, and at one point she goes, is everything okay? And so while the nurses were there, I said, kind of loud.
Yeah.
I go, yes, honey, everything is fine. They did say that your vagina won't work for a while. But don't worry, the insurance provides a loaner.
That is good.
To which my half-conscious wife said, okay.
Right. And you were comfortable knowing she would never remember it.
Yes, exactly.
I'll jump in on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
On that note, I'll jump in. I had mentioned that Doreen had some surgery a couple of years ago, and I had that similar situation in the recovery room. Not that I was anywhere near as funny as you. but just that she would wake up and she'd ask a question and I'd explain it in detail or whatever. And then 45 minutes later, she'd ask me the same question.
Not
and
even by 45 minutes.
Yeah. By the fourth time she asked me, I said, look, I'm going to write it down. And then if you feel like asking me a question, read what I wrote down and see if it answers that question. And then you can leave me out of it.
I like the married frustration of like, listen, I know you just had yourself cut open, but I don't got time for your bullshit right now.
Right,
well, only married people would do that to each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it takes a special bond of soulmate level to be able to go, will you get your shit together? Good God, woman.
Yeah. So I relate completely to that part of the story, but funny. I didn't see it as an opportunity to make a series of inappropriate.
That
jokes.
Is why you
had.
Are a better person than me.
Well, that is why I am the grasshopper and you are the master.
No, that's also not true.
Okay.
But the other thing that happened that I liked was that
yeah.
There was I almost it's like I was doing a different show for each nurse that would come because she was the only one having multiple nurses come
right,
by
right.
kind of a thing. And the other one I said was she said something she goes she asked again, am I okay? And I said, yes. I go, but she did say that you needed pelvic rest, so no intercourse until the doctor says yes. So you're going to have to, I go, do your best to try to resist me. And then the nurse immediately started laughing like you did. Go, and I just shot her a look of like,
oh, my God.
That's not funny. Like,
then she stopped laughing.
Oh, my God. You're so mean. You're so mean.
And I said, no, I'm just kidding. Oh, but it's funny that these people who deal with like life and death and, you know, things can change on a dime.
Yeah.
You throw them just a little bit of a curveball of a weirdo and they like they don't know what to do. Oh, and so so we get her home and now she has all these problems. And now to be serious now, let's.
No.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I'm going to do my best.
Well, I'm not.
I am sans a vagina.
Right.
You know what
Other
I mean?
Other than like, your own.
Right. And
down one.
That's really uncomfortable. I mean, just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just walking around and it kind of like what I was laughing at the idea of you saying, I'm going to write it down. Okay. Because I'm yeah. sick of your bullshit. Like, I wish I was a better person that while my wife, I did a very good job taking care of her.
Yes.
Okay. I will admit.
Yes.
But to say that. At no point did it ever enter my mind that I'm like, I'm fucking taking care of everybody and then also not getting laid.
Not getting laid.
Like the amount, like you women, you need, ladies, you need to know how men are. I'm not that manly. But so for me,
yeah, right.
For me to be kind of on some level having an inkling of this kind of feeling,
yes.
Imagine what a real man feels. That it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm so self-centered. I'm like, the injustice of it all,
yeah.
The amount of work that I'm doing, and to think that there is no vaginal credit being applied
right, exactly.
to my bank of love, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
To my love
from which you don't
loan.
Want to make any
withdrawals.
Deposits only.
Yes, deposits only yeah. is what I'm. And right now, I'm in what is, to use the same analogy, I'm in a CD, but it's a VD of a different term. In that it's locked in. I'm locked in. I can't do an early withdrawal or deposit, depending
right.
on how it works.
Either one.
Like. Yeah. I'm stuck just waiting to cash in on what likely, due to the level of her consciousness and comfort,
yes.
is going to be a very minimal interest rate on this. I mean, it is almost unnoticeable. I mean, inflation probably dwarfs this
right,
in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been my days. What else happened over the...
While you're still
semi
on that, I had two comments to make. One is that although Luna has never had, excuse me, other than that one, which was a heart surgery, she's never had anything sort of north of the Tetons taken care of ever. And still somehow I am also minus a vagine. I don't know how that happened, but I ended up in exactly the same place you are without the surgery.
Wow,
and the second thing is,
you should consult her, maybe get a second opinion.
I know a lot of fun is made about my creepiness with regards to you and your wife and my obsession with watching you guys. I just wanted to let you know that out of respect, I'm not going to be thinking about her for a little while, just to give her the time that her pelvis needs.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
To give her imaginary pelvic
her
rest.
Imaginary
as well.
Pelvic crest as well. So you let her know that. I came out of
By the way, Jessica's in the chat room. Just a lot of really,
buckle up, Jessica. I came out of my front door the other day and I saw the TV in your front room go on. It was a PS4, and my heart surged. There's a car in the driveway. I'm like, oh, he's here. Mm-hmm. And then after a couple of seconds, I could see that it was Netflix, and then I could see it was transparent. And I went, that's not him.
Who was watching?
That's Natalie.
Who's watching Transparent?
Well, I'm assuming it was Natalie. Well,
is that the Jeffrey Tambor show?
Well, I saw Judith Light. Now, listen, I'm still on
the incomparable Judith Light.
The incomparable Judith Light.
No fucking clue who Judith Light is. Whacked up.
She's she's from Who's the Boss?
Oh, Who's the Boss? Yeah. Samantha. Is that her?
Yes, yeah, Samantha. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sitting on my front stoop. This is how big your TV is. Yeah. I can tell it's Judith Light from across the street. And I was getting really excited. I was going to write you and make a joke about how you were watching Transparent. And then
what time is this?
I don't know, some morning at like 10:30. And then I went, oh, that's not him. I'm just going to seem like a weirdo if I say I can tell what you're watching.
By the way, I'm not just watching your wife. I'm also watching what she's watching on television.
Exactly. Well, no, I immediately went in and got on Netflix, and I queued it up to the scene she was in, and then I was able to.
What was the joke? There was a joke made by, was it me or something? I think it was to my dad is how it came up or something. My dad was like, he goes, hey, he goes, will I get to see Adam this trip? Is he back yet? And I said, I go, you know, I don't know. I said, but if you want, just play it safe and wave to his house. He'll probably see you.
And does he know enough about all that to find that funny? Or did he give you a look like one of those nurses?
I hope so. Actually, I didn't clarify. I didn't think of that until just now. I think I just made a joke for this show of the show.
There you go.
Just for myself to laugh. That's laughed, maybe out of pity. But anyway, so that's good stuff. Yeah, it was her. She's my wife and I, we participated in binge watching like no parent ever could. I had this great moment where, you know, the moms that.
Oh, right, because the kids were gone.
Yeah, the kids left on Christmas Day. And I had this great moment where the other moms that we hang out with at the school, we have our park days, right?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, let's get a park day during the vacation on Monday. We'll go to the park and everything. And I said, well, I could go, but it would be mostly so I could tell you about how great it is that my kids are gone for the next week. And we could tell you about all the movies we've seen and all the TV shows and how much we're sleeping. And
right.
And I go, would that be fun for you guys? No one responded.
Yeah. Didn't happen. That's funny. So I thought they were all just going to bring their kids over to your house and leave them with you, which is what usually it
means. Oh, really? That would have been funny if they would have went, oh, great, you have time.
Yeah.
So, but we binge watch so much, and it's hilarious because my wife has so few time to watch television.
Yeah.
And it's because it's during the holiday, nothing was on the DVR.
Right.
So we defaulted to Netflix, which I don't think my wife knows how to work the Amazon. So I'm pretty sure she wasn't watching Transparent.
Oh, is Transparent on Amazon?
Yes. It's on Amazon Prime, not on Netflix. That's my understanding.
Oh, okay. You may be right.
But she did find the Grace and Frankie, or Frankie and Gracie, or
I know
which
that
is
one.
The Jane Fonda and the incomparable Lily
Tomlin. Which, by the way, I hated, but go on.
What? You don't like it? That's so not like you.
I don't think I got much further than the pilot, but I didn't care for the writing. I also find it hard to look at those two gals, but go on.
How dare you?
Yeah.
That is Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
It sure
how
is.
How could you not want to look at them?
More importantly, how could they say yes
to
something that was that subpar in the writing?
Wow. It's a good show.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
I want to see if smoke comes out your
ears. No, it's all right. It was so long that I looked at it, but. Good for you. I always thought I thought it was going to be something much.
Well, here's what we watched before that.
Yeah.
The Making of a Murder. Have you seen that?
I haven't. I've heard about
it. Dude, humongously trending right now. Anybody who's listening, you have to. All of a sudden, I sound like Billy Bush, didn't I? You have to. Like, it's totally trending right now. No, you have to see this because it's great. It's awesome.
Okay.
It's so, don't, okay.
Man. I'm just not that kind of an okay.
Well, then you need to change your tone.
Duly noted. D-O-O.
I'll take that. Yeah, I know what you're doing. This isn't my first day. Okay,
that's fine. No, I was for the
stop
listeners.
Saying okay.
Yes, sir.
Much better. But oh, it's so great. Guy gets accused of a crime. Anybody who hasn't seen it, anything I say would almost be ruining it. And anybody who's already seen it is already like, yeah, it's so great. And here's how I know it's great, because I've started watching it, and then Natalie got into it and was like, holy balls.
Oh, wow.
And then what was the other show? Oh, that's going to bother me now, that I started watching. She watched Master of None, which is Aziz Ansari's kind of sitcom on Netflix.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
Listen, we all are. Just tell us the stuff you liked.
Will do.
All right. But she, I had to teach her how to use the PlayStation. This is how old we're getting. That you might as well, like, first of all, I was excited to come home each day from work, do the cleaning up of the house, because she's broken and can't do the women's work.
Yeah.
So I would clean up the house and then put on some pajama pants, and then we'd fire up the TV and the Netflix, and we would just start watching shows. And it was so awesome. I need to find a way to make enough money that my wife does not have to work. Because there's no greater feeling than being able to come home from your job at 11 a.m. or 12.
Luna, stop listening.
And then hanging out with your wife for 2 to 3 hours every day. Oh, my gosh. It was so awesome. Even if her hoo-hoo didn't work. That's how I know I love that woman.
That's how good the TV shows are, people.
Even without a vaginal carrot on the end of a stick.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yeah. No, I heard they removed her vaginal carrot while they were in there.
I hope so. Right. I hope so. But yeah, it's great. Great, great show. then we did. The kids went to my grandparents.
Yeah.
Had the weirdness of kids going to go see Grandma Cheryl. Now, when I say weirdness, I don't mean.
Wait, Grandma.
That's my mom.
But you said shower?
No, Cheryl.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah.
Kids going to see the grandma shower. I can understand weirdness.
It's a family thing. We all watch each other
okay,
in the
fair
shower.
Fair enough. Different strokes.
So my mom now lives closer to my dad, weirdly enough, because her dad lives close to my dad up in the mountains or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So she's no longer in a different state. And so she was like, my dad was going to take the kids for a week. And she's like, well, can I have, take them for a couple of days? That'd be cool. I said, absolutely. Yeah. And here's the thing. It's not weird in the sense that I think it's a bad idea or anything like that, but I don't know how to say it correctly. It's weird in the sense that this is uncharted territory. See, up until this point in my life, managing my parents' divorce was kind of more on them. You know what I mean? Like she would call and say, hey, can I come pick Justin up? And then when I got up to an age where she could call me, she would say, hey, can I come see you this weekend, or you want to come over to the house and blah, blah, blah. Now I'm an adult, supposedly. I have children.
Arguably.
Allegedly. No, I have children, and we've all experienced that thing where it's, once you have children, your parents have even less interest in you. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like, and I won't know until I have grandchildren, but a lot of people seem to only have children so that they can have grandchildren and really enjoy children.
Yes.
So we did that whole thing where, she's going to come over, and then, she's like, well, what can I, when can I come get them? And I said, well, I'll call dad. And I didn't know how to navigate it. I probably was making it more difficult, where I'm trying to say, like, am I supposed to be an objective mediator? And I, you call me and then I call him. And my dad's like, why don't I just talk to her? I said, well, you can, I don't care. But then it got weird, because my dad was like, he sent me a text message and says, hey, we may have a problem here. Jacob says he doesn't want to go to grandma's house. Now, it's weird, because at my dad's house, there's snow, right? Right. My dad bought a PlayStation 4 with the new Call of Duty and the new Star Wars Battlefront. I don't know who this man is or where he or what he did with my father, but there was something going on there.
Yeah.
And so there, and I think that Jake, because I know Jacob, obviously loves his grandma, blah, 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 but it was just this weird thing where he's like, I don't want to go. So then I had to call him, and it's this weird thing where, as a parent, I don't want to force him. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to have fun if he's there and doesn't want to be there?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, from 400 miles away, I got to explain to him, like, you got to have a little bit of respect for your grandma. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then it's like, do I make my dad deal with that? Is she going to, and I, you know, so then I had to call him. I talk, and then I let it slip where I said, he goes, I don't want to go. And I said, why? And he goes, well, I just don't want to. And he keeps saying, I don't want to go. Yeah, I don't want to go. So I said, well, how about this? I said, do you not want to go because you think it won't be as fun as grandpa's, is what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of was like, to where I think, okay, maybe there's something there. And I said, well, let me put it to you this way. I said, I don't want you to go if you don't want to go. I said, but grandma is excited to have you over. And I forgot that I was talking to Jacob. And so Jacob was like, okay, I'll go. And I'm like, well, why do you want to go now? He goes, well, because you said grandma was excited. So Jacob, being the empathetic person that he is like, if that's what she wants, I will do it to make her happy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want that to be like a burden he has to carry, you know.
But under what terms did you want him to give in and do what you wanted him to? I mean, what was the right
way?
You're
right. No, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing. I wanted to know, because here, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Last night. Here's another thing. You know, we're back in school. There's tons of fundraising is kicking back up with the PTA and the boosters. Yeah. So we get the thing. Jacob comes home. He goes, Dad, you have to sign me up for chocolate bars. I go, why am I signing you up for chocolate bars? He goes, because I want to do it. It'll be fun. It's like some kind of brainwashing that they did to him.
Yeah.
And he is so smart that he's already kind of, because he's smart and he's kind and sweet, it makes it really hard for me to call bullshit on him because you're like, it's kind of like, it's like kicking a chihuahua with only one leg. You know what I mean? Like,
wait
it's
a
like,
minute. Now I really am listening.
Can we talk slower?
Yeah.
It's because, you know what I mean? Like, it's a small, frail thing that you're like, and you puff up your chest because I know that chihuahua would bite me or is trying to fuck me. But I'm like, no, I see through your bullshit, Chihuahua.
Right,
I know what you're doing here. You can't play the sympathy card. And that's what my son is doing.
Yeah.
Because he let slip out because he's only seven while he's talking about how much he wants to sell these chocolate bars. He goes, and it's not because of the prizes.
Good. Those are shit.
Not to him. Not when you're seven.
Okay.
So to me, immediately alarms go off and go, oh, it's because they're offering him some kind of bullshit prize. So I'm going to have to pay $4,000 of chocolate so that he can have 4 cents of some kind of bullshit, which I get. I know they got to raise money. I'm not going after them for raising money. I'm trying to say, what I'm saying is I wish that this wasn't a part of parenting, like to where I have to navigate this crap with him.
Right.
So I go, well, why do you think selling chocolate bars is going to be fun? And he goes, because I think it'll be fun. It'll be good. And I said, okay. And Natalie drinks the Kool-Aid. I swear to God. If it wasn't for me, Natalie would be on the top of that mountain waiting for the mothership to come pick her up.
Yeah.
She would be writing Helter Skelter on somebody's walls. We would have 14 timeshares and be major contributors to whatever televangelist is cool now. I can't think of anybody besides Jim Baker, and I think he's left this world. So anyway, I sit there and I go back and forth, and then I go, well, what I said, what's involved in selling it? Because I said, you're going to go walk around the neighborhood door to door? And he goes, no, I can't do that. I go, okay, who are you going to sell them to? He said, our family and our friends. I said, how many people?
Yeah.
He goes, we get 60 candy bars for $60.
Yeah.
And then you sell them. And then you make your money back. And I said, oh, okay. How many people do you think you're going to see? Because it ain't fucking 60.
Yeah.
And then I guess he thinks that after school, like, we're just all going to exchange candy bars.
Sure.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
I said,
well, it's a good thing she's drank the Kool-Aid because she's going to be selling them at that office of hers.
Exactly. She ain't working. That's my other part of my problem is that. She's still got another week off because of this whole operation, something about, I don't know.
Well, that's all right. Look, once they have your $60, you can take as long as you want to sell that chocolate. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Joke's on them.
I have a couple of bars from middle school I'd like to sell you.
Well, the real problem is I wouldn't sell anything, but I would eat them all. So I told him, I said, well, Sutton, I go, why do you need to sell them? He goes,
why couldn't they be fish sticks?
Yeah, exactly.
Something that wouldn't be so tempting.
You really want to teach a kid to sell? Make him sell fish sticks to his friends.
Have your boy go up to one of the young black kids selling the chocolate bars in front of Ralph's or Target.
They've got game, though.
What?
Those kids that are raising money for their football teams, they know how to freaking push a product.
Have him ask them if they're having fun.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what they would like to be doing. Right. So we go back and forth, and then finally I trick him. Because my wife is like, well, how do you think you'll sell them? Who do you think you'll sell them to? And then I said, okay. And I said, oh, you said something earlier about like prizes or something. What was that? He goes, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, what's the prize if you get one box? And then he goes, oh, you get a magic trick. I said, what if you sell two boxes? He goes, you get to go to a magic show. I said, what if you sell three boxes? He goes, you get a TV. I said, what? Right. He goes, you get a TV. I said,
I thought you were going to open for Penn and Teller. It was the third one.
Yeah, you think.
Keep playing the magic.
No, after number two, they ditch that magic theme altogether.
Yeah.
And I go, how much are these boxes of chocolates that you're going to get a TV at three?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know. And so I look at the pamphlet and read it. And then all of a sudden, I go, do you notice, to my wife while he's sitting there, do you notice how he doesn't know how he's going to sell them or why it's fun? But he knows exactly what he gets for each box that he sells. And I'm supposed to believe that prizes have nothing to do with this, right?
Well, he has, if you guys, you know, if you do the one box, he's already seen your $60 disappear.
Yeah.
So that's a magic trick right there.
Right.
That might be the only trick he gets to see.
And then if I record it, I could get a 2-for-1 and go, you want to see a magic show?
Yeah, right.
This is how you got your mother to dupe me. In another Ponzi scheme so that you could contribute $60 to some bullshit outdoor science camp.
Right.
Where really it's all about making you feel uncomfortable about your level of pubic hair.
Luna is saying she'll take the dark chocolate ones off your hands.
I didn't get any chocolates.
Oh, you didn't? Well, that's, no. That was 20
Thanks
of them
for ruining
right
my story, Luna. No, I'm kidding.
There's 20 of them right there.
So
go
she
on.
Goes, so she, we go back and forth on this. And Natalie, I go, see, do you notice how he knows more about the prizes? And Natalie says, she goes, no, he likes to sell. Maybe he wants to sell because she likes to sell.
That's true.
She thinks that this is some genetic gift that she's given to him.
Sure.
And so I get the pamphlet and then I read it and it says, if you would like to not sell chocolate, you could still get prizes by just donating $30 per box of chocolate. So there is only a 50 cent profit on each chocolate bar with these boxes. So I could just give them the $30. Nobody needs to waste chocolate or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which is my whole fucking thing with this. Yes. It's like, why not? Who are the parents? Yeah. Who are the parents that are like, no, I don't want to just give you money. I don't feel right doing that. What I would like to have is a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 calorie burning ratio to get you your $30. What I would like to do is have some kind of fucking car wash over the weekend where I can have inappropriate concerns at this level in my parental career about the development of my daughter. That's what I would really, while she's washing some creepy guy's car that I don't know if he's on Megan's list or not. that's what I need. I need that in my experience. What I would also like to do is have the awkward conversation with the people in the office. I'm saying, hey, you want to buy a chocolate bar?
Yes.
Or even better is just to leave the chocolate bar on the honor system and find out how many fuckwads you have working with you that just take chocolate bars from your child's outdoor science camp fundraiser so that they could just get that much closer to diabetes. That's what I need. God forbid I just give you $100 two or three times a year because that's not fun for me.
No.
That I need a struggle. I need to suffer in order to have fun being a parent and with a kid in public school. So we do that. We go through that. And then I said, so I could get you just I could just donate $90 and we don't have to get chocolate. You don't have to sell anything and you could still get the prizes. He goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, let's do that. And I slowly, so like he's to my right on the link. Natalie's on the other end of the conference table that is our dining room.
Yes.
I slowly look back across to her and I go, still think he loves to sell? You still think that's what's going on there? And she goes, fuck you.
Now, I thought you weren't supposed to be giving it to her hard during this period of time.
Nope, that's only with my junk. There's another moment where that happens where I made a ham casserole with the leftover ham we had for Christmas.
That sounds funny and disgusting.
It was delicious. Fuck you very much. You're not going to bring your meal rejecting bullshit over to this dojo.
Okay. I'm sorry, I said okay.
Okay. So I made this casserole, and we had it for an early lunch. And then I go, well, we'll just have that for dinner or whatever, later that night. And Natalie goes, do you want to go out, like, or get some? I said, go out? Like, you want to leave? Because she couldn't really move around. She goes, oh, I can't go out. She goes, you want to just get something and bring it back here?
Yeah.
I said, and here's what I said, and I meant it. And I said, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Now, when I say to you, Paco, whatever you want, what do you, and I'll even let you dip into the female brain. What do you think that means?
Fuck me? No, I don't, whatever you want.
You and I both wish.
She said to you, whatever you want.
No, I said to her.
You said to her.
She said, well, I guess, is that okay if we get like a takeout and bring it back to the house? And I said, whatever you want. She goes, well, did you have a plan for dinner? I said, I was going to make the casserole. Reheat it up again.
Right.
Have leftovers for dinner.
Yes.
What? Who isn't excited by that?
The guy who said it sounded hilarious and disgusting might not be, but so whatever you want meant whatever you want. I mean, yes. I'm just taking you at face value.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, it's unfair. Clearly, you and I have chemistry, so it's unfair to her, I'm sure, because you and I have known each other for how long? 2 years?
2 years. Yes.
Wow, did we just slip into a figurative marriage? Yeah. The panic and flop sweat that you broke out to in 0.5 seconds. This is a bit. I'm just building a bit here.
I understand.
Because why should our 2.5 years together be comparable to my 2 decades with my wife?
Exactly.
It's very right. different. Very different. So completely. When I say to someone that I've been living with for 20 fucking years,
yes.
whatever you want, it wouldn't mean whatever. Why would I say what I meant? Why would I do that?
Okay, finish your story, and then I'm gonna shit on your point.
Yeah, please do. I like that you wait. I like your marathon patience. So she goes back. So then it's like, well, I was thinking we could go out, like, or get, you know, just something, you know. So I go, okay. Well, my dad needs help with his new PlayStation because he's using the internet update. So I come out here.
Yeah,
leaving my mom and my wife to figure out some kind of dinner. Now, mind you, if you remember earlier on in this very episode, I was talking about all the extra stuff. We all know, we're all aware that when one member of the spousal units within a household goes down, the other one picks up the slack, right?
Right.
So I've been participating in that. And what does not involve her pelvic region
yes.
is deciding what we have for dinner. Because she doesn't have to, you know, do anything about it. Mm-hmm. So I come back in. I said, what did you decide for dinner? She's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? I swear to you, in front of my own mother, I almost committed spousal murder.
Oh, my God.
If I hadn't spent my Christmas vacation watching Making of a Murderer and yes. Learning a new, having a new understanding of our judicial system.
Yes.
I would have done it right there. I go, because right. in my mind, this is where maybe she's right that I don't say what I mean. Because in my mind, I say, I was going to fucking make leftovers.
Right.
That was my plan.
Yeah.
You crazy ass witchy, witchy woman.
Right. And listen, if it comes to it, I'll be your lawyer because I'll go, look, first of all, he said whatever you want, but she wouldn't give him an answer.
Right.
She kept putting it back on him. And secondly, he's not getting any. So between those two things, how could you have a result anything other than a murder?
Right. See?
Yeah.
Thank
that's my
you.
Case.
Again, 2.5 years, you
yeah,
get
right.
So then she says, well, this is what I love the other thing. She goes, well, I just thought if we went and got something, you know, I don't want you, then it would be less work. I don't want you to have to work.
Yeah.
Now let's recap that thought.
Other than that.
Let's do the OJ glove to that bullshit right there. So let's see. What do you think involves less work? Taking a container out of the fridge and just turning the fucking oven on and waiting 25 minutes and saying, dinner's ready.
Yeah.
Remember what we had earlier? It's the same thing. So
yes.
get your palate ready because
okay.
here it comes again.
Okay.
Gathering orders from everyone to build individual meals to drive 15 minutes to then wait for why you call it in to wait there
right,
anyway.
Right.
I don't understand. to then get it, then to probably either A, do the super obnoxious, douchey searching through, did you get everything I ordered?
Right.
This is very important to me. Or taking it all the way home, finding out that they don't have everything that you ordered, or it's not the way that you requested it, and then almost have to be the bigger douche because now you're burning twice as many calories to go back and go, I believe I ordered this tostada salad with no guacamole, Maria.
Right.
But I don't want to make more work for you, she says. So I say, well, no matter what, I would like to stop doing the work that I'm doing right now on this. That's what I would like.
Okay, now I'm going to step in with my with my comments. Number one is that
you're not going to take her side.
Well, not exactly.
Fuck.
Here's the thing is, as also having been in a marriage, when the phrase "whatever you want" comes out of my mouth, that is not what I'm thinking. First of all, and second of all, she was doing everything she could avoid to keep herself from saying, dear God, not the casserole again.
Yes.
Yes, she didn't want your horrible casserole.
That's fine. I don't care if you don't want my horrible. Because here's the thing. Here's how I'm wired. And what you should be able to understand after two fucking decades is that when I say we're going to have a fucking casserole, and it's that important to me, I'm going to go, sounds like you need to figure out a way to get some Grubhub to the fucking doorway for your ass. Because I'm eating some delicious ham and cheese casserole that I had for lunch.
Okay.
If it was that important to me, I would be like, no, because when you ask me, is this okay, and I don't think it's okay, I fucking tell you, no, it's not okay. But I'm not, so again, 20 years, that's all that goes through my head. 20 years, at what point do we just become dead inside and stop, you know what I mean, stop the game, stop the third date facade of her trying to act like she doesn't take a shit, and you know what I mean?
That's year 8.
Thank you.
You're 12 years
I'm
in.
I'm way past
Yeah, you're
two.
Way past. So I just have one final question. Was that the night that I saw pizza being delivered to the house?
No.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The chat room's lighting up. Pizza, Chinese pizza. Let's also reflect on what a room full of people via the interweb, all they could come up first thought. They don't know everybody's typing at the exact same fucking time. Pizza, Chinese pizza. You got two options. Those are the only ones, okay? I threw those out second one. I said, do you want to get pizza? Nah, I don't want pizza. Do you want Chinese? Nah. I don't want to trade. So that means.
And then it was still whatever you want, but she was going to shoot down all those.
No, it was still, I don't want to make work for you. Well, I just, the least amount of work is what I had planned.
Right.
Second would be pizza or Chinese. That's a very close tie. Pizza, a little bit less because you just order it and everybody eats it. Chinese, you got to go, everybody gets to pick a fucking dish.
Yeah,
Instead of it being $50, it's $129 to fix, you know, to feed three people.
Right.
You know, so it was just this whole thing, right? So I go back, I go, okay, here's what we're going to, when I come back in again, I had to go do something else and come back in. And she was like, okay, we're going to get Piquito Mas, which is like a Mexican chain.
Sure.
Here, right.
Yeah.
I said, okay, in the future.
You don't have to explain Mexican to me.
I'm not to you. I'm talking to everybody.
You know, it's all right. We get it.
Don't try to hold up a mirror to me. I know how inappropriate I am. I come back in and I go, listen, and this is what it is to be my wife. I go, in the future. Those are the words that you hear. Like, I think that's the equivalent of like, we need to talk, or you know what I mean? Like, you have those phrases like,
right,
hey, you got a minute? Like, that kind of stuff. And so I say, in the future, and she just like everything goes limp.
Oh,
she
no.
does the toddler dead body like thing. And, oh, you're not lifting me. No, right. I'm dead. And I said, when you want something, just tell me that's what you want.
Right.
And this is what I hate about my existence. With this woman.
Yeah.
I love almost everything.
Uh-huh.
But the thing I hate the most is that when I am saying things like, let's just be open and honest with each other, I get met with like, why are you such a fucking dick? Now, let's not forget, I'm the one who's providing the food, right? I'm going to go get it. I'm the one who's taking care of you. I put your fucking shoes on for you like you're 87. Now, to be fair, yeah. the people listening to this, are they don't understand her understanding. They know what was going on in my brain that I'm kind of like, man, this kind of sucks a little bit. But at no point did I bitch to her about it. Right. I didn't right. do any of that. Okay. I just took care of her. Everything was like, what do you want? I knew she was limited on diet. So she was like, I kind of feel like miso soup. I go to the grocery store. I get four different kinds
right.
of miso soup and figure out a recipe to make it from scratch and yeah. pick up wonton soup from her favorite Chinese food place.
Never miso horny, but miso soup.
Maybe that was a signal I missed.
Oh, that's like,
why is he getting all this soup? Yeah. Did he not get my hilarious Two Live Crew innuendo? Or maybe you're doing Full Metal Jacket, actually, now that I think about it.
I don't know.
Or both. So I do the, in the future, she gets all like, oh, God, why is he such an asshole? Which escalates me. Uh-huh. It's like, no, I'm not an asshole when I give you exactly what you want, okay?
Right, right.
And I'm telling you, all you have to do is ask me what you would like. And then she goes, well, I didn't want to make, like I said, I didn't want to make more work for you. I would eat ham casserole. And I go, but... I go, exactly. And if I needed you to eat ham casserole, yeah. when you said, what do you want to do for dinner? I go, nothing besides ham casserole. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that. But I have very, very rarely done that in our life together.
Yeah.
And I don't, it's kind of the same with kids. It's like when you do all the stuff to try to make their life good and nice, there's some kind of like animosity they have towards you for it.
Right.
Like,
right.
or just lack of perspective. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So it's like the only way to get perspective is to go in this like weird peak valley cycle of being a shithead husband and father
right,
and then coming
right.
out of it. You know what I mean? But then you just look extremely moody and emotional and bipolar. That's
yes,
what I get.
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, I have a question for you.
Proceed to shit on my point.
No. There's no shitting on your point. I'm a little concerned about you.
Why?
About your safety.
Okay.
So if you maybe give me a wink or a nod or something if you think someone's listening and you could be in trouble. But it looks as though you have a wound on your forehead.
Oh.
And it looks like it could have come from some fingernails. And I'm worried that argument didn't go so well for Daddy.
Stay frosty, everybody. No, I'll tell you what happened with my wound after this. But so the way it ended was I went to go yeah. get the Paquito Moss. And then what's great about my life and what it is to be my father
yeah.
is that I essentially had kind of the same conversation I just had with you.
Yes.
But with the guy that I'm a carbon copy of. And it's like I'm having this conversation, honestly, no
yeah.
joke,
uh-huh.
with the expectation that maybe he's going to be like, well, son, you know, like. But it's just a lot of like, oh, yeah, it's bullshit. Am I right? You know,
right.
And then he starts bagging on his old lady. Oh, at no point do I realize that his old lady is my mother. You know, like it's just this weird dynamic. And then we come back. And then it's yeah. weird because my wife is always forced into being a husband in that. So she's like, are you mad at me? I go, no, I'm not mad at you. Like, and then this
like
is the same thing.
Like a woman, you say, no, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah. Fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't mad.
Whatever you want.
Wouldn't it be great if in the reality that's what I was doing?
Yes.
If, like, we could go back and Minority Report it. Like, where we get to see it. It's like, whatever you want, princess. God! So my wife... This is what I love too. She does this thing so she could get a fucking burrito, not have to eat a ham casserole. The amount yeah. of stuff she
that
has to do.
That casserole must be bad. Is it still here?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man.
My father and I ate it all. So she's walking around like on yeah. kind of eggshells. And then this is what I love too about her perspective is that I get up. I know I'm going to sound like an asshole. So buckle up, everybody. I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay. I go to work at 3.
Yeah.
I go there. I have fun. I do my job. And then I come home. She right now. Okay. Right now. She too late. Fuck you, Super Dave. I love that Super Dave is the guy in the chat room too, who's always seems to be taking the chick's side. Like, it's like, if I didn't know better, I'd say Super Dave was some kind of single dad, like just trying to scam on some single mom to try and get laid in a chat room.
Right.
Unfair. Unfair.
He probably is.
To go after him like that. But in fact, I think if memory serves that he sent me a very funny picture of him humping a Christmas tree with his family. So I think I have to retract everything I said because he sent me, I think it's the same guy where he sent me this guy. Somebody sent me a photo of them picking out their Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And they're like mounting it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Kissing it with their tongue out.
That was in response to your story about
the Christmas
your
tree.
Sexy tree. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, got wood, which just made me laugh like a child. Anyway, so we, what was I saying? Oh, my wife is a husband. She has to go around on the eggshells, you know, like she's, are you okay? Right. Mm-hmm. You know, because I get up, I work all day. And then when 7 o'clock rolls around, because she got to sleep in now. She doesn't have to go to work. So it's like once the kids are in school, she sits on her ass and watches Transparent, evidently, based on the surveillance I have going on across the street.
Yeah, I narked her out by mistake.
So to me, I feel like if my wife has heightened stress levels, I'm aware of that. And I do things to remove her burden. I make sure that I don't add to it if I can in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Evidently, not to a point where I won't be a total hypocrite about her having a major surgery of some kind, because I don't lighten up. That whole time I'm yelling at her about, because she's like, just don't stop giving me shit or whatever. And I go, honey, I can't. Like, that's not... Yeah. Who you married. I wish I could be the guy who just takes it and takes it. But even when you were in a weakened state, I'm like, okay, this bullshit's got to stop here. But she does the eggshell thing and she's being all nice. And then I wake up the next morning and she's got a thank you card. Like, it was very sweet. She said, thank you for taking such great care of me and everything. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think it is that women feel like when we buy them chocolates or a bracelet, is that it's like, if it comes out of nowhere, on some level, they have to go, what did he do? That I didn't notice.
Right.
Because this doesn't seem right. Because all I'm thinking, I'm like, well, if you weren't such an asshole about what you wanted for dinner the other night, I wouldn't be getting this thank you note. It's not like I'm really being appreciated for everything I've done.
Oh, my God.
It's because you feel bad because you made me go get you a fucking tostada salad at Paquito Mas instead of eating the casserole. That's all we're dealing with here. I'm a great husband.
Oh, my God. You flipped that at the end. I'm having trouble. I'll get the bends trying to catch up with you. Wow. That was good.
And then to kind of put a button on the overall experience with this whole thing, and then we got to do moment of the week. But my this is going to sound really lame, too. My mom said, she goes, I worry about your stress. Like, she goes,
to
I'm,
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I go, but I'm not stressed. And then everybody has this condescending thing. Well, you know, it's that thing where it's like, are you okay? Yeah, why? I'm fine. You look tired. Right, you look like shit is what they're really saying, you know?
Yeah.
So, but my mom is saying, not just saying I look like shit, you look like you're about to die. Are you okay?
Oh, my God.
But I really feel like I'm the most content I've been thus far in my life. Other than when I was like ignorant in my 20s. Like, that was great. That was ignorant, sweet, ignorant bliss. I didn't know what was coming. Yeah. You know what I mean? But for a guy who has two children, a severe amount of gray hair, no real good looks, you know what I mean?
It's
hovers between 20 and 25 pounds overweight.
A wife that's way too hot for him.
Outkicked his coverage, but and still has the balls to complain about how she bitches about what she wants for dinner. You know what I mean?
Yes.
For, other than all that, I'm like, I'm David Carradine. You know what I mean? I'm chill, snatching pebbles from grasshoppers' hands left and right. And so I'm talking, but to be honest, when your mom says this, and I kind of had... Before my mom came home, it added to my fear, actually, because I was like, I've been having chest pains, right? No, right? There's no way to say that and have it not sound like an asshole. So I've been having these chest pains intermittently, and so I wanted to ask my dad this last trip. I go, hey, because this is what it is to be a worship. Hey, when you had your heart attack, what did it feel like? My father had his heart attack at 50. I think my grandfather was almost 60 or something like that. And I do know the older you are when you have the heart attack, the better, because it means that your heart is weakened. And it's because if I had a heart attack now, I would be dead. Like, it would be lights out for me because that means things are so bad that there's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of was like, well, I don't want to freak mom out.
Right.
which is really hilarious because it's like, I don't want to make more work for you. But, like, what did it feel like? And my dad's like, why? I go, I may or may not have been having some chest pains lately, you know, thing. And this is what I love. My mom goes, oh, I know it. You know, like, it's, she gets really serious and somber.
Right, right.
But my dad, because I'm the same person as him, he just tells me, he goes, well, it starts, he goes, actually, my, he goes, where is it? And I showed him on my chest. It's just to the left, you know, but low. Yeah. And then he goes, no, it's, he goes, for me, it started in the middle and it feels like really intense heartburn. He goes, and then within the moment, he goes, it would shift to the left.
Oh.
And he goes, that's when it was like, oh boy.
Did he reassure you by telling you that?
Well, yeah, because he said, how often are you having them? And right. I said, like, maybe once every 5 minutes. No, I'm kidding. Once every 2 to 3 days, if that. Like, that would be excessive. Right. I think it's maybe once a week. He goes, oh. He goes, if you were, like, early signs of a heart attack,
yeah,
you it would be constant. Like, it would be, it's happening.
I'm glad that it reassured you. It's got me worried. But
do we need to go?
Yeah.
Stay frosty, everybody. Get an EKG. Consult your physician.
I'll meet you at St. Joe's, Luna.
Well, see that? And that's Leticia just said in the chat room, anxiety or whatever. And that's what my point was.
Could be that ham casserole, too. We can't.
No.
We can't.
No. It's a fucking drive to go get the Paquito Moss. And the lack of sex, because evidently my wife can't maintain her hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
My junk is fine. It works great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing.
Because the little thing I call preventative maintenance.
If you had been in there hammering the sides of that hoo-hoo, right. there wouldn't have been anything building up.
I should have crushed a sonic toothbrush to those exactly.
Yeah, she wouldn't have had a problem.
Yeah, I don't have the length to be able to reach up in there.
That's not what I meant. I meant frequency.
No, you're right. And I'm not like a jackhammer kind of guy. I'm a man of passion.
Yeah, you're in the foyer. But you actually don't get much past the foyer.
Exactly. And then it's all I'm more of a, like, yeah, all of my show is at the entryway.
Right, in the mudroom. Man, that's a whole other thing.
That's my striptease. I take off my snow boots and then ba-boom. No, because this is the thing, is that my wife also said this. I can look at spoken like a classic lady. Justin, work your junk without her. You'll be fine. That is spoken like somebody who has never sampled a vagine. Let me tell you that right now.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, this whole thing, because I talked to my wife about this later too, and she goes, well, maybe it's, you know, you don't, this is what I love people like to tell you. No, you don't know. Sometimes you could be stressed. And you don't even know you're stressed. And I go, right. No, I remember being stressed when I was broke, like broke. Yeah, yeah. I was fucking stressed and miserable.
Yeah.
I am content. Like, I am very, the weirdest thing was when I was doing stand-up is that if I wasn't working because I was self-employed, I always felt this tension of like, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be doing something else.
Right.
That's going to progress your career so you could take care of your family. The nice thing about she says, any eye twitching all the time. Why? I'm sure that's nothing to do with it. No, is that my, with this job at the radio station, especially now that I know how to run the board and I'm not nervous running it,
yeah.
I've settled into a nice little groove and there's no real pressure. I'm exceeding their expectations. I'm very happy with the way things are going. So, like, if you look at my life, other than the fact that sometimes I want to kill her, I have a great marriage.
Right.
I have two great kids. I have a beautiful house in a nice neighborhood with great neighbors. Yeah. And financially,
about the neighbors.
They're awesome.
Very good.
Ed is great. I also like Paul on the other side. I mean, just the whole odd side of the street, weirdly enough, tits excellent. Up, as my dad would say. But no, I don't have the stress or the anxiety, but I may be more unhealthy than I've been in my life. And that's why I was kind of worried about it.
I see.
So he said, well, just get on the bike. And then my dad said, and if you feel a tingling in your left home, stop riding.
And go take a bear.
And go take a bear.
One of those bear aspirins.
And you'll live forever. So.
Okay. Before you launch off, and tell me it's none of my business. 2 minute recap on the forehead.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we had this rain recently,
sure.
And we have wicker lawn furniture that this is the funny
oh,
part too.
Okay, yeah. No.
So we have wicker lawn furniture that Natalie. This is what I love about my wife. $150 is what these people who we don't know. Maybe Uncle Lou died, and they're just trying to raise money to put him in a nice casket and bury him next to his
maybe
wife.
A wicker casket.
Well, that's all they could afford because my wife talked him down to $50.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So
they have kids, right?
Yeah. Not anymore. State had to take
them too. At a discount.
So I have the furniture out by the fire pit, and it's just going to be pouring, and this is Exodus. Like, it's going to be raining for 40 days, 40 nights, or whatever. Exodus. No, that's no way, you dumbass. Anyway, so I grab it, and I'm getting it out there, and I get the couch easy, and then I do the chair, and I do the manly, like, I'm going to carry this above my head. Mm-hmm. Well, the spot that I was carrying it kind of blocked the width of the doorway, and I'm kind of, and there's a low spot in the concrete that it, that creates a puddle right before the entryway.
Yeah.
So I do a leap over the puddle.
Oh, God.
And what I do is, how dare you? I jousted.
That sounds like classic comedy.
I jousted with a 4x4 frame of the porch.
Yes.
And it just kagoosh.
Guy jumping over a puddle jams his head on a piece of wicker. Well, that's exactly what
classic
that looks
story,
like.
Yeah.
That's exactly what so that looks
then,
like.
And then
before
of course,
I go, I want to picture you for it.
I get the, I give the, you know, I don't know if you do this when you get hurt and you're by yourself. I yell to the heavens. Like, so I just, motherfucker! I yell. Right.
I have been known to call out, but.
Which, the like, you see this. It's like barely a scrape. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right,
right. The amount of decibels that I added to my horrible cursing
right.
didn't worth, not worth that.
Not worth
Nobody
that.
Needed to yeah. hear that. So that's how
but that's
I got.
Like, if you're falling, you know you're falling.
Yeah.
And so there's certain injuries that you see coming and you can be ready for it, but that that's why that's so hilarious is you couldn't know if it was going to happen.
No, I didn't.
Boom,
right on the head.
Love
and,
it.
And then I had to do the thing where I go, is there anything on my forehead? And my wife still like in the, you know, she's awake, but this is like a week after she had her surgery, but she's like a sloth right now. Like,
right.
She went to the grocery store with me and I was like, I was lapping her ass. And she's
sure.
like, well, you're going to have to move slower. I go, we got shit to do. I go,
yeah.
I told her, you want to come? She goes, well, I'd go to the grocery store with you. Like, we could do it together. And
I was
teasing her. I said, if I would have known you were going to move this slow, I'd have left your ass in the car. All right, let's do a moment of the week and get out of here.
Sure.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
I'm taking a picture of my forehead because somebody in the chat room said that they don't have Instagram, but Paco doesn't. I don't think he can post photos. Can you post photos on our Facebook page?
We can figure it out.
There, I did it. All right, so you can see a picture of my stupid scraped forehead. Oh, my God. That looks bad.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
That's not how I thought that looked. All right. Go ahead, my friend.
All right. Hang on 1 second. I got to clear my throat.
Okay.
Couldn't have done that during the song.
Nope. Because then we would have missed it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to lead up to the thing that that Diego said. But before I do that, I just want to say that for those of you keeping track at home, that Lewin and I did have our January 1 argument. We always like to get the year started.
Oh, really?
A big fight. It's almost always about the same
thing. I forgot this from last year then.
Yeah. I'm not clear whether or not it really happened last year, but I thought we'd almost slipped out of it, but it landed late. It just was a little off.
Was it about what she wanted for dinner? Because
no, but I mean,
I know who side I'm on.
Was that was your argument happening after January 1?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There must be something about it. I don't know. It wasn't about dinner. It was about the last 20-something years. But other than that, it really wasn't. Didn't get personal.
I know you didn't mean it that way, but that was the funniest thing ever. It wasn't about dinner, and you, like, reflectively said it was more about forever.
Yeah, like right. Everything. No, I'm glad that it amused you. I didn't do it on. That was a performance only for you.
It was great.
Well, this is what you're missing, people. You should come on down and sit in the studio.
It wasn't so much about dinner as much as it was about life.
Everything. So, anyway. And that then it sort of ended up incorporating Diego as well. Not that we were fighting with him, but that eventually we had a really nice kind of coming back together. And I did a thing where, because we were all kind of pissed at each other for different things. And I had everyone gather in the kitchen. And I cleaned the stove, which had been part of sort of ground zero of the argument. And and Diego cleaned the front of the aluminum. What do they call that? The refrigerator. But
stainless.
Stainless. Yeah. And Luna did the
humble brag.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that's called. What do they call that when
Sub-zero,
you have the nicest finish to your appliance? What is the finish that the wealthy like to have in their stainless? I think that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes, it resists sustain because it is perfect in every way.
Well, it is not resistant to what it looks like somebody came out of Krispy Kreme or Cinnabon after some sort of feasting orgy and then pressed every part of their sticky covered butter to the refrigerator. I'm like, how does it even get like this? Nobody has that on their hands. And then she did the microwave. And so we were able to, each of us dealing with our own thing that we were cleaning, have a nice healing coming together conversation, which isn't exactly about parenting, but about life in a family. And so that that went very well. But here's the most important part of it. I got them to clean the kitchen for me.
Crushed it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great day. It's not just Paco taking care of his house. Oh, no. That's right. He's got the whole casa getting involved.
Right.
That Krispy Kreme refrigerator of life, of lap, living in the lap of luxury. Ran out of L words there. Didn't know if you picked up on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
All right. So my true moment of the week, which is just about my son, Diego, was a moment of panic that we had with the doorman stuff, which usually goes pretty smoothly. But sometimes if you have two people doing it, it actually makes it harder because you have to communicate to make sure that everyone knows what the status is. So I was about to let Montecor out into the backyard, and he said, you know, he for a second said, did you actually close that back door? Or, you know, and I realized suddenly at the last time, I mean, her head was out the door. The other ones are loose. And I went, oh, dear, and I pulled her in and I closed the door. And he said, were you concerned that one problem was going to go out and eat the three other problems? I said, on second thought, let me let her go.
That's good stuff.
So, you know, for 17, that's a pretty solid joke, I think. He gets it.
To wrangle in his own problem to make it not yours.
Yeah, no, seriously. Seriously. Anyway, happy New Year's to the listeners and to my family, and particularly Luna, for putting up with me.
Are you leaving right now?
All this time? No, I just see that she's still on there, so I'm trying to say something that'll sort of, you know, maybe get me a little good graces.
Listen to me right here.
Oh, no! This can't be good.
Listen, Luna. You need to crush the shit out of that chihuahua with this man later on tonight, okay? I want you to walk in the door. I want you to just give him one little look. Here's what I want you to do. If your son's not in the room, okay, will your son be in the room when your wife comes home from work today?
My son is always in the room.
All right, then. What does she have, like a bedtime bathroom ritual that she does in her sanctuary in there?
She goes right into the back of the house, so she passes by the room that is crowded.
And then she gets out of like work clothes and into something a little more comfortable.
Exactly. Right?
So here's what I need you to do.
Okay.
If you're watching television, and so is the fair Diego,
okay,
you will then, you know, give a 20-second pause and then go, oh, you know, I got to get it. Do the awkward. You can't just leave the room without explanation because he'll know that you're up. So you have to make it seem like you're up to something by going, oh, you know, I got it. And then you go in there.
Yeah.
And then I want you to rest yourself, propped up, if you would, on your bed.
Okay.
Fingers crossed, you know what I mean? Like villain-esque, you know, right about your sternum, staring. And then what she's going to do, she's going to crack open the bathroom that is her sanctuary.
Yeah.
She's going to lean out, you know, give you a little wink, and then she's going to pull down her shirt to expose one of her little sweater muffins for you.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's all you get right now.
Okay.
Okay? That's what I want you to do now, Luna.
I have a semi.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you did it. You've done it
That's
for
what
me.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. As long as you're not feeling chest pains, we can continue forward.
No.
I am not a physician.
She did ask me to, she said, hey, you want to join me? The other day when I went into the shower, she was in the shower and I didn't join her.
What?
I think she had something on her back she needed me to get or something. I don't know what it was, but I didn't take advantage of it. But
Oh my God, Paco, what are you doing?
My kids was up. It was not, it was
your
not the
kids. Best. Your kid is traveling halfway across the state to bone some half-Asian chick. You think he doesn't know what you're doing?
Is Luna still glad she tuned in?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I may or may not have ruined your whole little nip-slip
I'll let
later.
You know how that plays out.
Oh, it's going down. Trust me. Luna, listen, Luna likes me, and I think Luna knows that I am out for her best interests.
Yes.
So, and listen, if she is willing to go beyond the nip slip, then maybe you do a little spelunking.
Okay.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
I'm afraid that I am.
I would like to hold up a color wheel to see what shade of red Paco is right now. So I'm just saying, Luna, it's on like Donkey Kong.
There you go.
So, see, in the chat room right there, she just said, I love Justin. Yeah. So she is down for some cave diving if you're picking up what I'm putting down. You could borrow my headlight from the garage.
Yeah, that's fine. She did add a sometimes after that, I love Justin.
I'll give you some tints, you know, or something like that. No, don't just do the alphabet, all right? Sometimes you got to paint the defense, Danielson. Wax on, wax off. You picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes, I am.
All right, sweep the leg. Put her in a body bag, Johnny.
What is your moment of the week, good sir?
Let me transition from that wonderful talk into a great moment I had with my children. Jacob actually had this moment with my father that I got to see on video. I've talked about it before. He's kind of a fearful kid, and they have it's a very steep hill. I don't know what percentage of grade that it is. I would just say that it's somewhere between a flat wall and not quite 45 degrees, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And so it's now it's got snow on it, and my dad has a little sled thing that they would go down the hill, and it would end in the deck. Well, my dad put like a little berm or whatever so that they wouldn't crash into the deck.
Yeah.
Well, one time my kid came very close to a la Jackass, you know, if I was really good with sound drops, like that, whatever that they would do.
Yeah, right.
To hitting that berm, jumping over the deck into what would have been an 8-foot fall into more snow, I'm guessing. And at no point in this was he afraid. No, he was like, this is awesome. This is cool.
That's great.
And then with Jack, he did this thing that I kind of got after him, but it was cute in that he goes, he'd spent, you know, 10 days with his grandparents. And he said, I said, well, how long are you guys going to stay or whatever? And they said, oh, we'll probably just stay tonight or whatever. And Jack goes, well, you can go now if you want.
Yes.
And she goes, oh, you want us to leave? And he goes, yeah, you can leave, you know. And I didn't pick up that he was kidding, or maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But I go, hey. And he looked at me and I go, not okay. Yeah. These people were very nice to you and took awesome care of you. You don't tell them that they need to leave or whatever.
Yeah.
And he got all sad and whatever. And then Natalie's like, Justin. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to let him be a dick to his grandparents after he just went to fucking redneck Disneyland. Fucking kidding me. So, but then a few minutes go by and he kind of comes up to me and he goes, I was just kidding. And he goes,
wow.
Which I thought was adorable because he was coming up to me to apologize, but he goes, I was just kidding. He goes, I was telling a joke.
That's funny. That's funny.
So I hugged him and I said, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure you're nice to your grandparents.
No, I understand. And he has to be, he has to get that part of him toughened up that you've got, which is you don't care whether the person you're telling the joke to realizes it's a joke or not. In fact, it's almost better when they don't.
Right. So maybe I was the victim. Maybe I was the nurse in his story of life.
Exactly. Seriously.
All right. That was our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Join us at facebook.com/dadpodcast, where as of the publishing of this episode, you will also get to see a picture of my scraped head. If you've already seen the picture of my scraped head and don't know why, now hopefully you know why, because you've listened to this episode. That's at facebook.com/dadpodcast. If you want to talk to more like-minded parents, you could do that with the Facebook fan group that is Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. And that is a group that is run by our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
And if you're on the Instagram, you can go to call_of_Dooley and see great pictures of the show. Tune in next week, right after we hear about this Amazon banner, where we can hear about the fantastic time that the Lancinis had in Moaning Caverns this week. The look of fear and confusion that you just gave me. I want you to know that was expertly executed. I not only brought back spelunking, but worked in an actual
spelunking experience called Moaning Caverns.
Yes.
And you looked at me like, what the hell? Like you had forgotten a family vacation we planned.
Oh, my God.
All right. Paco's going to tell you about our Amazon banner, please.
All right. Here's the thing, people. You got to go to the Amazon banner. The way you do that is you go to the, I don't know how it became Jamaican. All right, I'll go with that. You scroll down to the bottom on the Dad Podcast website, and it will take you straight through to the Amazon where you will click it, and then you bookmark it, is what they say. Every time you go back to that site, you use that bookmark, and when you buy a little something, we'll get a little something. Cost you nothing, means the world to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Apu. On behalf of Paco Lancini. Soon to be enjoying his time on a trip from the Grand Tetons to to his spelunking vacation. This is just a word of saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.